over here. Very good. I encourage you to listen to that by Pastor Robert Morris. It's one of the best messages I've ever heard about take the day off, and we all need that. And I'll be honest with you, that message really spoke to me because I tend to burn the candle at both ends. And I know that's why I got ran down and got sick. And we know that there's a big scare going around right now about the coronavirus. And so we need to be taking care of ourselves, amen? Taking that day of rest is a big thing. And my mom sent me something. This is a funny, okay? Can I do something humorous to start the message today? Okay, these are the response to the coronavirus threat by your Enneagram number, okay? Your Enneagram. We'll talk about that more here in a little bit. But if you're a one, you have a perfect list of necessities, but no time to shop, if you're a one. If you're a two, a one happens to be the, what was number one? Where's Tay at? I know she was a number one. I can't even remember either. The number one was the perfectionist or the reformer. Okay, number two is the helper. There's the helper. Worries about how they will care for everyone if there is an outbreak. That's the helper. Number three is the achiever. This is the one we're going to talk about today. Wants to appear prepared, but also be respected for their lack of worry. The number four is the individualist or the romantic. Broods over the indignity of possibility of getting the same illness as everyone else. Okay, that's what they're worried about. The five is the investigator. They're the thinker. They listen to podcasts of doctors trying to figure out the virus, and they up their daily potassium and magnesium. They're looking for the next vitamin to help. The number six is the loyalist. They buy 150 pounds of dried beans while wearing a gas mask, and they start texting their friends, "I knew it." The sevens, this is my dad. I cracked up. I think my dad and Mark are sevens, isn't that right? I love this one about you guys. Plans vacation and hopes for school cancellations, is willing to risk a cheap cruise. They want to have fun. The eights are, that's Alan Toon over here, the challengers. They're annoyed by the CDC updates, and they wash their hands less in defiance. And then the nines, which are me, the peacemakers, they can't decide if they should be worried, and they go take a nap instead. So, yeah, that is good. So, is everybody ready to learn about the Enneagram? Okay. The Enneagram is a personality test, and where this came from was a pastor friend of mine by the name of Pastor Cody Anderson, and guys, I'm sorry if I get to coughing here in a little bit. I'm still not 100% this morning, but he was talking, him and his wife had a son that was not like them. How many of you have a child that's not like you? That's a different Enneagram number. And they were butting their heads, and they were like, we need help. And so my friend Cody, who pastors Faith Center Fellowship up in Mino, which is close to Enid, he did a wise thing as a pastor. He went and got counseling. And he said, man, I need help. Went to a Christian counselor. And this Christian counselor pointed him to this book and said, I want you and your wife to read this book about the Enneagram. It's called The Road Back to You, the Enneagram Journey to Self-Discovery. And they read it, and they found out who they were in the Enneagram, but they also found out who their son was, and he was not like them. And so that was what was causing the button heads in their family. And when they realized how to parent their son, according to the Enneagram, it became a blessing. And so that's why when Cody told me about this, I thought, and he said, Mark, I taught this at our church. I'm kind of taking a different approach than he is because I'm taking each one at a time and talking about them and breaking them down because this is going to help you to get to know yourself. It's going to help you to get, if you're married, it'll help you get to know your spouse. It'll help you get to know your family members. It'll also help you get to know people that you work with as well. And it just makes for, you start realizing, you know, as I started taking it, I started realizing how Jada is. She started realizing about me. I started realizing with Patricia, and I made fun of her last week because she's a helper, but she is an awesome helper. She does a great job around here, but I can also tell that I've had to, with Patricia, and I'm talking about her again today, you know, helping me as a boss with, because I am her boss, part of that is that I have to put boundaries on her or she'll help everybody, you know, like, it's just amazing. She just wants to help everybody, and that's who she is, but I've had to learn how to put boundaries on her to help her in that area. And you know, being a real estate agent, I work with several other agents, and I've got to know them based on this Enneagram. So this Enneagram, I'll just tell you real quick, it has its roots in the Catholic Church. How many of you know we can learn from everybody in the body of Christ, right? And so that's where it has its roots at. They actually use this in the Vatican they have their priests take this test so they know who they are and how they can place them within their church. So it's a really neat deal. Companies and organizations like Motorola, the Oakland A's baseball team, the CIA, and clergy from the Vatican, among many others, have used it to help their people find more joy in their work. Even Stanford University and Georgetown University business schools have included it in their curriculums. Many Fortune 500 companies use it as well. So I want you to look up here at Matthew chapter 22, and then, excuse me, and then I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 19 as well, okay? And this says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Everybody say yourself. Now everybody say, "Love, I love me." Okay, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. This has been our theme scripture for this whole series. And number one is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Number two is to love yourself. And a lot of times we forget that, but Jesus slipped that in there. He said you got to love yourself before you can even love your neighbor. And then number three is love your neighbor. And so as we've been going through this Enneagram teaching, we've been learning to always maintain a compassionate stance toward yourself as God does. Self-contempt will never produce lasting healing change in our lives, only love. And everybody said amen, okay? So you got to love yourself. Now, I'm going to go through quickly because I do this every Sunday because I know not everybody's been here through all the teachings, even though these are standalone teachings. I go through all the nine personality types because I want you to get this. And some of you have heard this over and over and over, but we need to keep hearing it. Number one is the perfectionist or the reformer. These people are ethical, dedicated, and reliable. They are motivated by a desire to live the right way, improve the world, and avoid fault and blame. The helper, they are warm, caring, and giving. They are motivated by a need to be loved and needed and to avoid acknowledging their own needs. The threes are the performers or the achievers. This is what we're talking about today. They are success-oriented, image-conscious, and wired for productivity. They are motivated by a need to be or appear to be successful and to avoid failure. Number four is the romantic or the individualist. These people are creative, sensitive, and moody. They are motivated by a need to be understood, experience their oversized feelings, and avoid being ordinary. Number five, the investigator or the thinker. They are analytical, detached, and private. They are motivated by a need to gain knowledge, conserve energy, and avoid relying on others. And then number six is the loyalist. These people are committed, practical, and witty. They are worst-case scenario thinkers who are motivated by fear and the need for security. Number seven is the enthusiast. They are fun, spontaneous, and adventurous. They are motivated by a need to be happy, to plan stimulating experiences, and avoid pain. And then number eight is the challengers. They are commanding, intense, and confrontational. They are motivated by a need to be strong and avoid feeling weak or vulnerable. And then number nine is the peacemaker. They are pleasant, laid back, and accommodating. They are motivated by a need to keep the peace, merge with others, and avoid conflict. Those are the short definitions of each person on the Enneagram or each personality on the Enneagram, and I encourage you to go take that test that's in the bulletin and to find out. You'll score high in one, and you may have one that's right next to it, but when you take the test, one is always going to stand out. And our personalities are fluid, meaning you can act in any nine of these at any time, depending on the circumstances and situations, but your dominant will always be your number one. That's what you'll you'll go back to. And so I have found out that I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. I'm a peacemaker. And so they group them into threes, the gut triad, which is the 8, 9s, and 1s. We've already talked about those. These numbers are driven by anger. 8 externalizes it. When 8's mad, basically what that means is when an 8 is mad, everybody knows it, okay? 9 forgets it. I shove it underneath the rug. And 1 internalizes it. They take in and respond to life instinctually or at the gut level, and they tend to express themselves honestly and directly. Today we're talking about the threes. We talked about the helpers last week, which is the twos. So we're talking about the twos, threes, and fours. We'll be talking about fours next Sunday. These numbers are driven by feelings. Twos focus outwardly on the feelings of others. Threes have trouble recognizing their own or other people's feelings. And fours concentrate their attention inwardly on their own feelings. They each take in and relate to life from their heart and more image conscious than other numbers. And this triad works hard externally to gain their worth. And then we're going to be talking about later on the 5, 6, and the 7s, which is the fear or the head triad. These numbers are driven by fear. 5 externalizes it, 6 internalizes it, and 7 forgets it. They take in and relate to the world through the mind, and they tend to think and plan carefully before they act. So I'm trying to give you a rundown, highlighting everything in this Enneagram teaching. There's a lot of information. I'm telling you, you can go as deep as you want to. If you go Google the Enneagram, you can pull up all kinds of stuff. My daughter's been sending me stuff. Tay has been sending me stuff about it, and she sent me the one the other day, how 9s and 1s interact, because I'm a 9, she's a 1, and I'm telling you, it was spot on the way it described our relationship. And so it's a really neat thing. And so what we've been learning through this whole teaching on identity and about the Enneagram, there are times when your personality is in a healthy space, there's times when it's in an okay space, and there are times when it's downright nuts and crazy, okay? It's meaning it's unhealthy. And so what I'm trying to do is do a teaching to show us what, number one, what your personality is, and then to help you realize when it's in an unhealthy place so you can make decisions and choices and get it back over into a healthy place. Because it'll bless your marriage if you're married. It'll bless your business if you have a business. It'll bless everything that you do. So there's the good, the bad, and the ugly in each personality. And each personality, by the way, can be a jerk, okay? You might be saying, oh, God, it's the ones. They're the jerks of all. You know, no, every personality can be a jerk. And you're going to learn your wing numbers, and I'll talk about that here in just a second, your stress numbers and your security numbers that go along with each one of those. And so here's the deal. Romans 3:23, we all know, most of us know this scripture if you've been in church any length of time, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners here today. Every personality, there's sin in every personality. And I love the way Richard Rohr defines sin. And he's a teacher of the Enneagram. He said, sins are fixations that prevent the energy of life, God's love, from flowing freely. They are self-erected blockades that cut us off from God and hence from our own authentic potential. I love that definition. And so the true purpose of the Enneagram is to reveal to you your shadow side and offer spiritual counsel on how to open it to the transformative light of God's grace. So how that happens is we have to partner with the Holy Spirit to be the best us. The Holy Spirit helps you with your personality, how God hardwired you, your DNA, to become the best you. We need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit comes along and provides us this out of Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen? So we need the Holy Spirit's help. Now I'm going to show you that the one sin for each personality type, okay, that you deal with. If you're a 1, you deal a lot with anger. And so 1s feel a compulsive need to perfect the world, keenly aware that neither they nor anyone else can live up to their impossibly high standards. They experience anger in the form of smoldering resentment. And I'm just picking on my, looking back here at my daughter, and I'm looking at her, and I can't tell you how many times she's been angry with her daddy at being a 9. 2s is pride. 2s direct all their attention and energy, these are the helpers, toward meeting the needs of others while disavowing having any of their own. Their secret belief that they alone know what's best for others, and that they are indispensable reveals their prideful spirit. Threes, who we're talking about today, the achievers or the performers, is deceit. Threes value appearance over substance, abandoning their true selves to project a false, crowd-pleasing image. Threes buy their own performance and deceive themselves into believing they are their persona. Fours is envy. Fours believe they are missing something essential without which they will never be complete. They envy what they perceive to be the wholeness and happiness of others. Fives, if you're a four, then you have a hard time with Facebook. And just let you know, if you're a four and you're on social media a lot, that's everybody's highlight reels. Amen? So don't envy that. Fives, greed is greed. Fives hoard those things they believe will ensure that they live an independent, self-sustaining existence. This withholding ultimately leads to their holding back love and affection from others. Sixes is fear, forever imagining worst-case scenarios and questioning their ability to handle life on their own. Sixes turn to authority figures and belief systems rather than God to provide them with the support and security that they yearn for. Sevens is gluttony, to avoid painful feelings. Sevens gorge themselves on positive experiences, planning and anticipating new adventures, and entertaining interesting ideas. They're never satisfied. The sevens' frenzied pursuit of these distractions eventually escalates to the point of gluttony. Eights is lust. Eights lust after intensity. It can be seen in their excessiveness. They evidence in every area of life. Domineering and confrontational, eights present a hard, intimidating exterior to mask vulnerability. And then nines, which is me, is sloth. I am sloth man for nines. That's been our inside joke. For nines, sloth refers not to physical but to spiritual laziness. Nines fall asleep to their own priorities, personal development, and responsibility for becoming their own person. So that's the introduction to this whole Enneagram in a nutshell, real quick. And so this is what the Enneagram looks like. The Enneagram, Enne means nine, and then, of course, the graph, the gram. And this shows you how they're positioned on the Enneagram and how what these lines represent. Let me just go to the number three, which it says performer, which is also the achiever. You see the triangle that it makes. One goes to peacemaker, one line goes to peacemaker, and one line goes to loyalist. And what that means is this: that's your wing numbers. So a three achiever, you have a wing of a nine and you have a wing of a loyalist. And to break that down, what that means is a threes with a four wing, they are more introspective and in touch with their shame and other feelings. Threes with a two wing, or threes with a six wing, they are charming and intimate. They make great entertainers, politicians, salespeople, and pastors. Okay? To the nine. That's the nine, and then the six is the... Let me reword this, all right? Threes with a six wing, they are more introspective and in touch with their shame and their other feelings. Threes with the six wing, they're charming and intimate. They make great entertainers, politicians, salespeople, and pastors. So threes in stress, what happens is they go to an unhealthy nine. I had that right. I'm sorry, guys. I'm messing up. The wing numbers are the four and the two. Okay, let me back up. I'm messing up. The performer there, see that? And then up above it's the helper, and down below is the four. Those are the wing numbers, my bad. So threes with the four wing, they are more introspective and in touch with their shame and other feelings. Threes with the two wing, with the helper, they are charming and intimate. They make great entertainers, politicians, salespeople, and pastors. Then the nine and the six, where the triangle is, that tells you where you go for stress and security. So in stress, what a three does is they go to an unhealthy nine. And this is what happens to a three. Three are achievers. They're productivity. They're constantly doing things. And so when they become unhealthy in their personality, they go to an unhealthy nine. And so what happens is they retreat to the couch with the remote and a bag of chips, or they lose themselves in unproductive busy work, and they lose their characteristic optimism and confidence. That's what happens to a three in stress. They go to an unhealthy nine. Threes in security go to a healthy six. so that they become a loyalist, where they become warmer and more in touch with their feelings and the feelings of others. They're less competitive and defensive. They have more energy to devote to their family and their friends, and they don't need to be the star or in control. They can experience being loved for who they are instead of for what they do, all right? How many, by the way, how many achievers do we have in here? Maybe it was your, okay, good job, Allie. And it's your number two. Some of you in here, may be your number two. Okay, these are the 10 statements of an achiever or a performer. Number one, is important for me to come across as a winner. Number two, the keys to my happiness are efficiency, productivity, and being acknowledged as the best. Number three, I don't like it when people slow me down. Number four, I would rather lead than follow any day. Number five, I am competitive to a fault. Number six, I can find a way to win over and connect with just about anyone. Number seven, I am a world champion multitasker. Number eight, I'm not one to talk about my personal life. Number nine, I love setting and accomplishing measurable goals. And number 10, people say I don't know how or when to stop working. So those are the top 10 statements of an achiever. We're going to look in Scripture to somebody that is an achiever. And this is what we've been doing every Sunday, looking into Scripture, finding a person in Scripture that fits this personality type. And we're going to look, the person that fits this personality type in Scripture is the rich young ruler. And his story is told in Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter 10, and in Luke chapter 18. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. And this is when Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler is a three. He's an achiever. He's a performer. He's all about success, okay? It says, now behold, one came and said to him, this is the number three. This is the rich young ruler. Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? He's wanting to do the works, all right? He's wanting to achieve eternal life. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which ones? All right? And Jesus said, you know, dude, there's 10 of them. So Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to pause right there because a lot of people think, well, there's Jesus describing works to get into heaven. No, he's not. He's getting down on this guy's level, and he's fixing to touch something that this guy thinks he can achieve eternal life. And Jesus is letting him know, no, you can't. I don't care how good you are, how successful you are, you can't achieve it. And God, Jesus knows what he's doing here. And in verse 20, it says, the young man said to him, all these things I've done, kept from my youth. He's like, man, I've achieved it. I'm right here with you, Jesus. What do I still lack? And Jesus is like, that's a good question, buddy. And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Uh-oh, Jesus is getting down to the nitty-gritty now. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus hit him right where he lived. Basically what Jesus was saying, you think you're good, but you're not, because you're worshiping money. You're worshiping your possessions. You have some idols before me. I was reading some commentary on this one time, and it was like, what if this guy just missed out? He could have been, maybe God had plans of him being even greater than Paul, you know, because he's this achiever, and he's going to go out and achieve so much for the kingdom of God, but his possessions held him back. And so Jesus got down to where this guy really lived. And so the rich young ruler is a three. And threes, and it's okay to be a three, okay, if you're a three. And I'm going to tell you, there's a little caution here, though. Threes have a drive for success, and it's hard for them to be real and genuine, just like we saw in this story, until Jesus got down to the nitty-gritty. And threes define themselves by what they have. And so here's the, if I can give you an object lesson from the rich young ruler as we go into more learning more about the achiever, it's this: success without God is empty. I'll say that again. Success without God is empty. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be blessed. He's our Father, but he wants us to be right there with him. He wants to be with us. Amen. So here's, to go a little bit further, we're going to learn all about threes and achievers. And I've kind of broke this down into an outline. So if you're, and I'll email these to you because I know I'm going really fast. I'll email these to you if you need. I've had people ask me to do that, and I don't mind at all. All about threes are achievers. Threes are great at setting goals and accomplishing them. They're great at solving problems. They're awesome at balancing their energy between work, family, and rest. This is when they're at their best. They're very benevolent and want to help others accomplish their goals. They're not limited by what they see, and they do what no one thinks can be done. What is at the core of their heart, though, is success, and their deepest need is to achieve. And for them, failure is not an option. That's when threes are, that's when you're clicking. When you got God in his right spot, you're still successful, you're achieving goals and everything. But when threes are not at their best, they overwork to overcome failure. They don't want to admit their mistakes and will hurt people that challenge them. They become desperate for attention, and when at their worst, they become petty, mean, and vengeful. We don't want to be that, amen? And so at their best, threes are ambitious, optimistic, self-affirming, industrious, efficient, self-propelled, energetic, goal-orienting, team-builder, and motivator. At their worst, threes are deceptive, self-promoting, pretentious, vain, superficial, exploitative, overly competitive, workaholic, and attention-getting. That's at their worst. And so here's the threes' core fear. The threes' core fear is that first two words, being worthless. They do not want to be worthless. They don't want to be a failure, incapable, unimpressive, unsuccessful, and inefficient. They're determined to achieve their goals to keep from being branded a failure. Here's their core desire. Three's core desire is to feel valuable and worthwhile by being themselves without having to perform. They desire to hear that they are loved for who they are without having to put on a show. That's a three's core desire. A three's core sin, though, is deception. And they believe the lie that whenever you get over in an unhealthy spot in your personality, this sin can deceive you, that deception. They believe the lie that you're only as loved as your last success. They have to create a picture of success even if it's not true, and they can be deceived by their own dreams, and when they're unhealthy, they're full of insecurity, and it's all due to deception. All right, here's children. I know we had Allie, so Alan and Amy are going to learn how to raise Allie over here. Threes is children. It's awesome that Allie's an achiever because you don't have to push them to achieve. It's just built into them. So as children, they try to do things that are valued by people around them, and they take it hard when they fail. They're focused and naturally competitive because they believe they are loved for their achievements, and these are the kids who want to stand out, and they do. They stand out. The wounding message that you don't want to portray over if you have a child that's a three or you're raising a three is you don't want to, you know, love them for this. You are what you do. You know, that conditional love. You want to shower unconditional love on them, and that's very important. So here's parenting a three. So when you're parenting a three, there's some things that you have to do. You need to praise your child when it's warranted. You know, praise them. Praise them, praise them, praise them. Encourage your child to slow down and do something that is not competitive, because they'll turn everything into a game and be competitive. So you got to slow them down and just, you know, encourage them to do something that's not competitive. Let your child know your unconditional love for them. That's huge, the unconditional love. And here's a big one. Help them to create a learning environment that encourages learning through trial and error, meaning, this is easier said than done, I know, as parenting. You're going to have to teach them how to lose, teach them how to fail, and how to learn from that experience and to grow from it. Because for a three, I'm telling you, winning and competitive, and you know they may not even try something because they already know I'm going to fail at that, and so they won't even try it. And so as a parent, you need to encourage them. No, we need to try all things. Do all things, you know, you may, and just teach them that you can't be good at everything, you know, and I know that's easier said than done as a parent because you want your kid to achieve at everything, but let them experience new things. Okay, threes in relationships. So you have to know this about threes if you're in a relationship with a three. They are on the Enneagram, they are least in touch with their feelings. And they suffer because they're almost all workaholics. Spouses and children of threes often feel devalued and less important than threes' ambitions. Threes prize friendships that are free and undemanding. Life is all about getting things done, so threes steer away from high maintenance, complicated or demanding friendships that take time and energy away from accomplishing goals. They cannot stand energy vampires, okay? They don't want friends with those kind of people. But here's the thing on about it. On this is something that came out of the book that I thought was really interesting. The saddest number on the Enneagram is an unsuccessful three, one whose ambitions were greater than their talent. It's a terrible thing to be seated next to a 70-year-old guy at a dinner party who is a three, who is still dropping names, telling you where he went to college or how much money he's made in his lifetime. Okay, that's an unhealthy three. And that's the saddest number on the Enneagram if they're unsuccessful, because that's what they beat to that drum of success. So threes at work. Threes at work, and I'm going to tell off on my broker, Amy Robbins, is a three, and I've told her that. Threes feel most in their element at work. They crave achievement and recognition. Their motto is, work is more fun than fun. They make phenomenal salespeople. They live for setting a goal, killing it, setting another goal, killing it, setting the next goal, killing it, and it just keeps going on and on like that. That's threes at work. They love to work, and they can become workaholics. So here's the spiritual transformation of a three. By the way, I had talking about my broker. She's asked me to do this teaching at our next staff meeting that we're going to have. So I'm pretty excited about that. We even had last week we talked about in our staff meeting, and it just so happened that I had Robert Morris, Pastor Robert Morris, do that teaching on Take the Day Off. And last week we were talking about how everybody was going around the table, how much they're working too much and, you know, they in the evenings and on the phone and taking away from family time and God time and all this. And so everybody made the consensus that, hey, at Moxie Realty, we're not going to work on Sunday. Sunday's going to be, you know, to worship God and family and all that. And I got to share with them about Pastor Robert Morris's book, Take the Day Off, and I shared that sermon with all of them, and I was telling them how we were learning that here at church. And that if we would all do it, we would be less stressed out and less sick. And everybody said, amen. Okay, and I'm talking to myself this morning as well. So here's the spiritual transformation of a three. Being a three and living in America, and we were talking about this morning because, you know, we brought home the silver ball. Thank God we brought home a ball, all right? We're the only two teams in the state. You know, Allen's team made it to state. But we live in a society and a culture, guys, that is the America is a three. It's all about achievement and success, if you want to put the Enneagram on a nation. And so being a three living in America is like being an alcoholic living above a saloon. That's what it's like. Because, and the reason why is our culture is obsessed with success and image. We all need to hear we are loved for who we are. But threes need to hear it until the day comes when they look in the mirror and see not an image so much as the reflection of a son or a daughter of God. That's what they've got to see. We all need that, but threes really need that. And the healing message for threes is you are loved just for who you are. And angels sing when this message penetrates a three's heart. That's what happens to a three. And that's how you... that's the spiritual transformation of a three when they get that revelation. So it's important for every number is to develop a practice of silence, solitude, and meditation, just like what Pastor Robert talked about, teached about last Sunday. But it's particularly essential for threes since you place such high value on activity and productivity. And I put this on here because one of the spiritual transformations of a three is take a vacation and do not bring work with you. Let's take the day off. Take a vacation. Go on a vacation. And your kids are only young once. Do it. Amen. Work can wait. Do it. So how do you love an achiever? Encourage them to celebrate their successes. So celebrate their successes when they have one, because that's big to them. They want you to celebrate with them. Tell them what to focus on. All right. Be real with them. I'll put this one on here out of 11. Accept that they are a little off. Allie, I'm sorry. Accept that they're a little off because they're just constantly want to achieve, just constant. It's just built into them. That's God's hardwired into them. Encourage them to connect with how they are feeling and thank them specifically. Let them know they are more than they do, that you love them for who they are. And this is Jesus' message to threes. In Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read this out of the one scripture out of the other story that talked about this interaction with Jesus and the rich young ruler, because I liked what Mark pulled out. Mark's my favorite book of the Bible, by the way. But what Mark pulled out about the rich young ruler, it says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love that. And said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. And so what I want to tell threes, you're hardwired to be successful and achieving and performing, but don't chase the dream, chase the cross. Success without God, remember, is empty. And so it's the only thing that will bring you security when you're chasing after God. And I promise you, he'll make sure your dreams come true as well, because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. I want to put this up here, and this I'm going to close with this story today. I'm actually using my phone to tell you a story about this. This is a pastor friend of mine. I think it hit home with me since I have a grandson now, but this was his granddaughter. And I read his story on Facebook. Pastor Brad Mendenhall, who is also from Enid with World Harvest Church. And this painting is a painting that his little granddaughter did. And when I read this story, I was like, his granddaughter is a three. She reeks with being three as I read this story. But I want to read this story to you in the revelation that he got from our Father God about this painting. It says, this was what he wrote. It says, yesterday, this is Hadley is her name that painted this painting. It says, yesterday after church, we had our wonderful grandkids out to the house. Tammy, who is Brad's wife, had bought them each something at the store. For Hadley, she bought her a paint-by-number set. Hadley was so excited to paint the picture that it showed on the cover, and it was the cover was flowers. We set her up. Those are supposed to be flowers, okay? We set her up on the back porch to paint her masterpiece, and Hadley set out to bring her creation to life. After a while, Tammy and I got busy inside with Caden, which is Hadley's little brother, and we happened to look out on the back porch where Hadley was in tears and sobbing uncontrollably. Remember, she's a three. Tammy quickly ran to her to find out what the problem was. Through her tears, she sadly says, it doesn't look like the picture. Oh, as grandparents, our hearts broke for her. We took her into our arms and reassured her that what she made was not exactly like the package cover in our eyes. It was beautiful. We told her how we thought it was an amazing picture, and she wanted to throw it away and even said, I don't ever want to see that picture again. There's you a three. The achiever, the performer. This is Pastor Brad still talking. He said, this morning when I saw her picture on the dining room table, this is Monday morning, immediately I felt the Lord speak to my heart. And this is what the Lord spoke to Pastor Brad. The way Hadley sees her picture is the way many people see their life. They have this idealistic perspective of what their life should be or should have amounted to. And when they don't see the reality of it, they think their life is useless. The Lord went on to say, just as you saw the beauty in what she thought was a mess is the same way I see your life. You are my child, and what I see in you is stunning. Wow, what a thought. Ponder those words today. No matter what your life's picture is right now, God loves you and he sees your life as beautiful. Even though we may have colored out of the lines or think we've messed something up, when we are in relationship with our Father God, he sees us as something incredibly amazing. I thought that was powerful. Thank you, Pastor Brad, for that. I encourage you to take that Enneagram test and find out what your personality is. This was also book recommendations. If you are three, these two book recommendations by Richard Rohr, and I wanted to put those up there, Falling Upward and A Spirituality for the Two Halves of Life, and Immortal Diamond, The Search for Our True Self. And both of those books are by Richard Rohr. I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. Father, I just thank you for the revelation that little that Pastor Brad had of Hadley's painting, God. And I know I do this every Sunday, but just want to make sure, you know, the enemy confuses us sometimes in our minds that we've got to achieve something or we got to be good enough and we have to do this or do that to become saved. But the Bible says that we're just to come as we are and that you love us for who we are, even if we've colored out of lines, even if it doesn't look like the painting on the box, God, that you love us anyway. And we thank you for that love today. And so, Lord, your word says in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul told us how to become saved. He said, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead people here today and those that are going to be watching or listening to this online and those that are going to be listening on the radio, I want to lead them in this prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved here this morning and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Jada, will you come up here with me, babe? I want everybody to stand up in here. And we're going to, Jada and I, I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. And when you leave, after I speak this blessing, when you leave, I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, you're my type. Okay. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, you're my type. Amen.